And welcome to another episode of the PRT Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Cornobie, alongside.
I'm Andrew.
Griffin Harper.
And Nico.
And we are back with another episode. This time we're going to talk a little bit about a whole bunch of things. We're going to talk a little bit WVU men's basketball, a little bit of WVU women's basketball as their season ended a couple weeks ago. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the national tournament. And then we're going to talk about the return of the consensus number one overall pick in the MLB draft, J.J. Weatherholt. He's currently projected as number six. But with his playing time, that'll go right back up. He's projected to start this weekend against the Jayhawks of Kansas. All right, so new basketball coach. We came and did an emergency episode a couple weeks ago.
That was last week.
So talked a little bit about DeFries himself and how, you know, this is going to be a huge difference for West Virginia, a huge difference in a lot of different things. For DeFries, you know, he's a guy who can do almost everything. He's coming into a fan base that more than 11,000 showed up for the final home game against Texas Tech, and a season-high 12,000 came out to see the Mountaineers play Baylor despite WVU's season-long struggles. So he's coming into a fan base that no matter what happens, they love their basketball. And so it's different on a perspective of, you know, he's going to have a lot of support in year one, and that's what's huge. Now, DeFries did not have to leave Drake. He could have been there for a while and would have still been successful. But it's always, you know, a dream for somebody to come to a Power 5 level and coach. And he says that he just feels like that this was a place. He said, this is what he said in the press conference. He said, I think the biggest thing for me was I was at a place that I really enjoyed and I was around a lot of friends and family back in Des Moines, Iowa. So it was going to take something pretty special for me to want to make a move. And I thought West Virginia had everything that I was looking for. Terrific administration and one of the best ADs in the country. Now, take that lightly because the administration is about to turn around with Gordon Gee retiring at the end of the next academic school year. But, you know, I think the fan base was a huge, huge thing for this program. And I think that the fan base is really what got DeFries here.
I mean, West Virginia is known to having a really dedicated fan base. Like, you know, I've always said if there was a football game in London, England, you know, you're going to have West Virginia people carving canoes out of trees and then going across the pond with a pepperoni roll in one hand and a keg of beer in the other. You know, it's like...
Which there's always a flying WV somewhere.
There's all literally... Yeah. Look anywhere on this campus and there's a flying WV literally anywhere. But... No, DeVries has a really big opportunity to see or show what he can do in front of this fan base. And let's not forget that not every coach can say that they were in the old stomping grounds of the legendary Bob Huggins.
The basketball culture's got to change. It's been mediocre at best over the last couple of years. I feel like, I don't know, Huggins, obviously we made the tournament 2 years ago. That was a great run. Anyway, sorry, we had technical difficulties. Anyway, so I just didn't like the culture, the way things were going. Obviously, the stuff with Huggins happened, but this year was just I didn't sense any passion when I went to the games. You know, you'd go, it felt like a library at times. It just, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the new head coach. His son coming with him. He looks like he's going to go to the league. It's exciting.
So his son. Well, I'll get to Nico. His son was a I'm still trying to deal out these audio levels. His son was a top 60 recruit coming into high school. And we'll talk more about him here in a minute. But Nico, go ahead.
I would just say I like what DeVries is doing, building from the ground up, setting a good solid foundation, and really just trying to ensure WV basketball has a place to stay for these next couple of years. You know, whether that be at mid of the Big 12, top of the Big 12, in March Madness, you never know. He's building a solid foundation, and I think that's something that's very important for this program.
Yeah, so Darian DeFries signed his first recruit at West Virginia. Happens to be His son, Tucker DeFreeze, signed a grant in aid to attend WVU and play basketball for the Mountaineers in the 2024-2025 season. The son of Darian and Ashley DeFreeze played the last three seasons for his father at Drake University, was the Larry Bird Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year, the MVC Tournament Most Outstanding Player for the second straight year, and is only the NCAA Division I men's basketball player to average at least 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1.5 steals per game. DeFreeze ranks 9th in Division I in scoring at 21.6 points a game and is one of the 5 players with 1,800 points since the 2021-2022 season. He was recently named an Associated Press All-American Honorable Mention selection and placed on the NABC All-District team. This past season, he scored 734 points and reached double figures in all but one contest. He had a career highs of 39 points and 13 rebounds. For his career, he has grabbed 587 rebounds. So you're getting a guy who can score, but can also do something that a lot of Mountaineer fans want their players to do that haven't done here in a while, and that's rebound the basketball.
Well, yeah, when you've had a cook, and then, his name is leaving me.
Edwards?
No, Bell.
Jimmy Bell.
Jimmy Bell. When you have, you know, two ginormous, you know, guys sort of standing in the paint and are as threatening as a group of butterflies.
Oh,
you know,
don't even get me started. So on the way that these players and for these Mountaineers these last couple of years, these big guys do not know how to use their size.
They don't use their size at all.
It is infuriating.
So let me. This has got to do with Jimmy Bell, and this is totally off topic, but it wouldn't be a PRT Boys podcast if it didn't go off topic at least once.
I mean, that's true.
Jimmy Bell has recently decided to try out for the Mississippi State football team.
So basically he's doing the same thing
exactly what he did last year. Part two, baby.
He's going to get cut, and then he's going to transfer again, right?
No, he'll stay at Mississippi State. He had a good year.
All I know is I picked Mississippi State to win in round one, and I looked like a fool.
So round one doesn't look, you know, doesn't really matter.
Hey,
how's your bracket doing right now?
I beat everyone in this room.
Yeah, but how's your bracket doing, like,
terrible.
You know, now?
I picked UNC.
Oh, it's gone.
I picked UNC.
All right, but back...
Oakland really destroyed everything, I'll just be honest with you.
I digress.
Yeah.
But no.
I digress.
Whoever wants to...
I wasn't done.
Talk on top. Oh, you weren't done?
No, I was like... The fact that you have these big guys who are standing in the paint and, like I said, are as threatening as a group of butterflies, that is something that we've lacked. And when you bring in Tucker, that, you know, that could change very, very quickly. And that is something that, you know, we as Mountaineer fans would absolutely love to see. And that's been one massive hole in our defense for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at who the Mountaineers, especially this year, Akuka Cook and Jesse Edwards, obviously both were injured a decent amount.
Pat Sumnick
as well. He was very physical. It's just he's not as tall as a Cook or Edwards. And Edwards, by the
way. But I say, yeah, Pat was my favorite big man on the team. He's the only one who gave effort, it seemed, at times. I'm not saying that they didn't give effort, but I don't know. I just saw such a lack of passion out of some of these players. And the ones who stepped up, great, I loved it. But I want the people that stepped up to stay. But I don't know, in this new generation of college athletics, I don't know who's going to stay, who's going to leave. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, and with Edwards, I feel like if he had a full season, he would have played better. It's just that, you know, he dealt with that wrist injury for like half the season.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at who they had to play. Those first couple games before Big 12 play, they were starting JoJo Harris, Offrey Nave, all these guys that, you know, when Raekwon and Kerr and all those guys that were in the transfer portal came in and were finally allowed to play, those guys moved to the bench.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, those first couple games, like I remember I went to the Jacksonville State game. That was an interesting one. It was a close game, but the Mountaineers won, but they didn't have the talent on the court. And, I mean, it was just something that was very detrimental to the Mountaineers' season.
It was a close game when it should have been a blowout.
Yes.
We also need – I don't remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Quinn, I think we've – I don't know.
Are you done?
I remember now.
He remembers.
We need to start a year where there's no BS with suspensions, no violations, none of this. We need to start a year with the full roster that is all – that is acquainted with one another – none of this, like, that's why we weren't good. Like, obviously the team was talented out the wazoo. You had so many players who were top recruits, top transfers, all this stuff. but they didn't have any chemistry because they didn't play together.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but last year when you had Bob Huggins bring in all these guys for like the first time, they wanted to play for Bob Huggins.
Yeah, they came here to play for Bob, not Coach Eilert. Precisely. No offense.
And then when that stuff happened, you know, you had a lot of transfers and a lot of dispersing of people. And yeah, Josh Eilert come in, and
Coach Eilert was put in a bad situation.
Yeah. So
I don't fault him for any of this.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, you have all this. I feel like this year is going to be the year where it's like West Virginia will have a solid transfer class.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the second time in a row that we've had the top
like
it's something like that.
Back to back years with the top transfer portal recruit.
Yeah, something like that. And then like. This would be the first year that we will actually keep all of them.
That's, well, not necessarily. Well, portal's not closed.
Oh, yeah.
So what's impressive in that is that it's two different head coaches as well. So West Virginia's 2024-2025 roster, as of right now, after yesterday, Corcarissa had entered the transfer portal, so you lost him. Here is who you have. Carmelo Atkins, a freshman coming in who has reportedly said that he is excited for the opportunity with Coach DeFreeze and is going to stick here at West Virginia. Jeremiah Bembry. Tucker DeFreeze, Noah Farrakhan has a COVID option that he can take. Josiah Harris, Kobe Johnson, offering of a Ali Rakab, who is not on scholarship, is a walk-on. Patrick Sumnick, who also has a COVID option. And Aiden Tagaloa Nelson, who is a football player, will also most likely be returning to the team. So, when you're talking about Carmelo Atkins, though, Ethan Bach said that I think he and his family are excited about the hire. So, hopefully that's positivity. I feel like now he would have already reopened his commitment or his recruiting because, you know, there's not much time to apply at a new school and, you know, all that stuff. So I would assume that he's coming back. Someone said WVU is currently aiming for back-to-back 9-win seasons. That's tough.
That was not nice. That wasn't nice.
Wow.
That wasn't nice.
So you're going to be bringing in, I think, Offering Neve. I saw he has added a lot of muscle in the offseason. You're going to have Kobe Johnson, who he's going to bring back a lot of depth. Josiah Harris has got a lot of upside he's bringing back. I think Jeremiah Bembry, he redshirted last year. When he played, he showed a lot of upside. I think you can get more playing time from Aiden Tegeloa and Nelson, possibly. That would be pretty cool, have a two-sport athlete on the team. I think, you know, this team's got a lot of sight. And then you're also going to have guys that in the transfer portal as well that you're going to try to attack. I think you have about five open scholarships left, I think, when you talk about guys who are, you know, leaving and stuff like that. I'm going to look at the portal report and see as into who has entered the portal. But, you know, I think it shows that a lot of guys are enjoying what they're seeing because if you look at it, I mean, guys would have left by now. You've only got two. Seth Wilson has entered the portal and Corcarissa. So it shows a lot of, you know, guys are excited as to what's coming in.
Miss Seth, not so much Kerr.
Yeah, I don't think Kerr is necessarily, you know, I have to subscribe to
Wilson was just another guy who gave effort.
Yeah,
you could see it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of family issues the last couple of weeks of the season, and so that was kind of an issue there, and so I think with that, you know, Seth Wilson, obviously, you're going to miss a guy like him. But, you know, some guys got to move on. But then when you're now talking about, you know, you got to bring in some transfer guys. I know a lot of guys that were at Drake last year are looking at coming to West Virginia. I know a guy that Tucker played with, a five-star transfer from Iowa State, is looking to come here. So a lot of visits happening within the next couple of weeks. That will be huge for Coach DeFreeze in his first season. So we talked a lot about it last week, so we just kind of wanted to touch base. But to close, he has signed or has made his first coaching announcement, rather. If my screen will load, maybe. There it goes. Nick Norton has been named an assistant coach and director of player development. A native of Bloomington, Illinois, Norton spent the last three seasons on DeVries' staff at Drake, helping the Bulldogs to an 80-26 record with a two NCAA tournament appearances and two Missouri Valley Conference titles. Coach DeVries says Nick is a hard worker who brings great enthusiasm, tremendous energy to our basketball program, and he always has a great rapport with our players and has a strong basketball IQ.
Repertoire.
Repertoire. I got you. Is that how you spell that?
For sure.
R-A-P-P.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Is it an E or an O?
Oh. How can you see any of those letters?
Because I'm closer to the monitor.
Here. I'm blind. There it is. Does that help, Andy? Look.
R-A-P-P-O-R-T.
With our players and as a strong basketball IQ.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. My bad.
It turns out that is how you spell repertoire. That's
crazy. All right.
French is weird.
Nick fits our basketball staff and program extremely well. Norton joined the Drake staff during the 2021-2022 season as assistant director of operations and was elevated to director of operations prior to the 2022-2023 season. Last season, he was promoted to assistant coach as well. So he played at UAB 2014 to 2018. I believe UAB had a couple NCAA tournament appearances there in that time. And then he transferred to Drake in 2018 and played there. He also played a stint in the NBA G League. And appeared in two games before he stepped away due to injuries. And his father, Randy, is the head basketball coach at UAB for the women's side. So that's pretty. So the guy comes from a basketball family. So DeVries will start getting his, you know.
Okay, we found out the proper spelling for repertoire. That's what we were doing on the computer.
No,
we
I figured.
No, it's repertoire is spelled R-E-P-E-R-T-O-R-O-I-R-E. I don't know what the other word is, but that's like report. I don't. It might be the same.
Welcome to Spelling 101 in our sophomore year. My bad.
Oh, Nico's got some. What?
Rapport.
There we go.
Rapport.
So
thank you, Google.
So essentially, so he's getting
rapport.
Right, so he's getting back. He's getting his staff going. You might see a couple guys retained. I don't know. He's a pretty young guy, though. So young staff for DeVries.
He does look
here
young
at West Virginia to start. So now, West Virginia's women's team got beat by Iowa. There's not much to really talk about because nothing's really happened.
It's well, not,
no, and I don't no, really want
to. I think there's a lot to no, talk about actually.
No, because we really talked about it. We last talked week? About it last week.
Oh, okay. I guess that's fair.
Yeah, it was expected. Like Caitlin Clark's. One of the greatest things we've ever seen in women's sports, especially college basketball. She's an anomaly because she's just so, so good. She's just so much, like, obviously
she is the best player.
Obviously every woman on, like, in college basketball is talented. They wouldn't be there if they weren't, but she's just on another level. Like, it's insane.
I would take Paige Buckland over Caitlin Clark.
Buckland?
Any day.
Okay. Yep. So.
Wait, is it? It's
Beckers.
Beckers? Why did I say Buckland?
So
I like Angel Reese.
Okay, so back to the men's side of things.
I don't care.
So Norton is the only one listed as an assistant coach. So no one has been retained yet that an announcement has come. So we'll have to keep that posted within the next couple of days. On the women's side of things, no one has left for the transfer portal except of Messiah Hunter. She did not really play much this year, only appeared in a couple of games. So she, will obviously be missed here, but she'll go on and do great things elsewhere. But Mark Kellogg, West Virginia just posted this, 25 wins, 8 straight 23-plus win seasons, AP top 25 appearances twice. He was the ESPN National Coach of the Week, had a tournament appearance. Had 9 weeks ranked in the top 25 and 6th straight postseason berth for the head man of West Virginia women's basketball. So
all that in his first year, too.
Yeah, all that in his first year. So there's not much that we can really talk about on that side. I mean, yeah, they got beat by Caitlin Clark. Good. That's awesome. Great. I love that it's been a Caitlin Clark show. We can't talk about it because I'll just say something that I shouldn't say. So talk about the NCAA men's tournament. For a second.
Roll Tide.
A little bit of a Cinderella story. I shouldn't say a little bit. A Cinderella story. NC State against Purdue. Be playing off on Saturday at 6:09 tip on TBS. And then UConn will play the Crimson Tide of Alabama 8:49 p.m. on Friday as well. That would be after the game. It's in Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Glendale. It's
in the Phoenix area.
Well, it's in the stadium, so it's in Glendale.
Okay. Quinn, you want to tell everyone where the women's Final Four will be?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah.
As he's sitting there in his Cleveland Browns jersey.
Why?
They didn't have enough money to afford to take him to another city, so they had to take him to Cleveland where it's cheap.
It's better than Detroit.
That is true. That is true.
And very good point.
You know what? And Baltimore.
Very good point.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, okay.
Stop.
We had a bit of trauma recently, okay? We like our bridges, okay? What?
So West Virginia obviously didn't make it to the tournament this year. Maybe DeFreeze will be in this tournament next year, huh?
I think he's got a good chance.
I think he's got a really good chance, especially as a Big 12 school. You have a really good chance. So I think everyone's going to be watching this Zach Edey Burns show between those two guys. And then probably going to watch Alabama get absolutely rolled by UConn, because that's what UConn has done all tournament long. They held Illinois, like, they went on a 30-0 run.
Yeah.
It might happen to Alabama. I'm not going to lie. Well, UConn is the best team in the country.
Yeah, and Alabama's defense has been pretty much non-existent
exactly.
this season.
Yeah, if you look at Alabama's wins so far, they only won by 2 against North Carolina, barely beat Clemson as well, just barely squeezed out a double-digit win against a 12-seed Grand Canyon, and barely beat Charleston. I mean, 109-96, that's only 13 points. I mean, if you're a 4-seed and you really think you can win a national championship, if you're going to beat the College of Charleston, I don't think allowing 96 points is a way to beat a team like UConn. So they're probably going to get rolled by UConn, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably not going to be wrong, though. I'm usually never wrong when it comes to these things. Purdue, though, NC State. I think NC State's got a lot of motivation heading into that game, but I think Zach Edey's just going to be a little too much as Griffin joins us.
We'll see if DJ Burns can contain him.
I think he can. I genuinely
he's definitely
do.
Got the size.
He's going to be the biggest guy that...
He's the most mobile big man I've ever seen.
The biggest guy that like, Edey has yeah. seen.
He's not like a big man in terms of height, but he's big. Like he's a
he has
big,
a lot of
a,
mass.
He's a big dude.
I mean, he's literally been scouted as an offensive lineman
yeah.
this season.
Straight up.
NFL
it's
draft.
Just you don't see mobility like that from guys that size, especially in basketball.
And the guy drops like Raekwon Battle numbers almost. Like almost like 20 points a game.
He's very good. I mean, he started off in Tennessee. He played well there, transferred, and then went to NC State. Look at him now.
You don't see a lot of guys in basketball in general with that kind of build. Normally, guys with that build, they're either a great lineman or they're hitting dingers in the majors. One of the two.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, this is going to be probably the strongest guy Edey will face.
Yep.
And has faced all year. So I think if you rough Edey up a little bit, I think it's going to get him, you know.
So at this point, who do you have?
I think Purdue wins, but I think barely.
The whole thing, I mean.
The whole thing, UConn.
UConn. Yep.
I mean, they've just been steamrolling everybody. I said that before you came in here.
So get this. So me and my dad entered his work pool, and there's like, I think 50 people in it. And his Elite Eight, he picked Duke and NC State. He picked that. That's just a great pick. I can't get over that.
Shout out to my girlfriend, Maddie. You know, our family bracket is in first place right now because she has, I think, 3 out of the 4 teams and has Alabama in her final four.
Wait, she has 3 out of the 4?
I do believe so.
Holy cow.
I think NC State is the only team she doesn't have.
Wow.
Yes, because she had James Madison in there just for some, you know. But yeah,
but still.
So she has 3 out of the 4 teams in her final four. So shout out to my girlfriend, Maddie, for not watching college basketball all year.
Let's give it up for Maddie.
And then she goes out there and, you know, is winning. My bracket's completely done. I don't have anybody left. So, I mean, I guess now that means I can just enjoy the game. But on the women's side of things, that they are unfortunately playing in Cleveland, those poor girls.
Hey,
they better watch themselves.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You got two teams in this thing, okay, are playing, like, both of their men's and women's programs are in the Final Four, NC State in the Final Four, as well as UConn. And UConn and Iowa face off. That will be a big-time game between Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark.
I would pick Paige any day.
No.
Absolutely not.
I would take Paige, 100%.
Now that Iowa,
absolutely not
over
because
Caitlin Clark.
Because Caitlin Clark is the best shooter that we've ever seen. She might be cocky, but she backs it up with her game. She's the best shooter we've ever seen in our
Travis Scott showed up to her game.
I mean, yes, Paige Beckers might be good. Paige Beckers, though, is also coming off of an ACL injury. She really had – I mean, she's coming off that injury. I think it's going to be a close game, but I do think Caitlin Clark wins only because Caitlin Clark shoots the basketball unlike anybody else.
I think Caitlin Clark overcame the hardest tasks for the tournament. They got past us. Not even that.
In her career, her whole career.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't recruited. She wanted to go to UConn and play. She was never recruited by UConn. She was recruited by Notre Dame, but ultimately stuck around to stay in Iowa. And if you look at her now, they're a number one seed and have a very good chance to play for a national championship.
She's coming for redemption.
Second year in a row. Just took down UCLA. Pretty big, 94-87, where you had
UCLA?
LSU, sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say.
LSU played UCLA. Because LSU had
redemption game.
Exactly. They got revenge. You know, the team that played them probably the best was West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
LSU did play them pretty well, but West Virginia played them pretty well. And so when you look at things, Caitlin Clark is, no matter she beat West Virginia, you have to put that aside because she is the best college basketball player on the men's and women's side, not only this year, but probably what we've experienced in our lifetime and probably what we will experience
in our lifetime. You're 100% going to see a spike in WNBA ratings in the next couple years.
Angel Reese just committed today.
Angel Reese, yep.
Just declared for the draft. Clark's going to be the number one pick,
Beckers.
And we'll go to the Indiana Fever.
You got Beckers in the next couple
years.
Well,
Paige Beckers might be able to get a red shirt, a medical red
shirt. I think
she'll
stay another year.
But even so, she's coming.
She's coming eventually. Yep. You have Brittany Griner. She's coming back into the game. That obviously, when she played in college here at West Virginia, that was the number one. That is still the number one crowd in women's history was when she came and played when she was at Baylor.
And you got, what's her name? Sabrina Ionescu.
And Ionescu, it doesn't matter. No matter who it is, the game of women's sports is rising,
mm-hmm.
Which is good,
especially
in hoops. Yeah,
but and the attention that's on it, and I'm going to go on this little rant.
Go ahead.
When you're hosting at a Sweet 16 and an Elite Eight, and it's a big city like Portland, and you don't get the 3-point line correct.
Oh, yeah.
That has to start from the top. I don't know how you don't get that
correct. How do you mess that up?
This isn't the first time that something like this has happened.
And, but what
do you remember?
What I'm tying this into, and I think this is what you're going to say, back in the COVID year,
when
they had the bubbles. You know, the men's had their bubble, right?
They had this massive weight room facility.
Do you know how big the women's
It was tiny.
As big as the studio right
not
now.
Not even. I'd say the size of this desk.
Yes. You have to give the attention of women's sport the same you are with men's.
Absolutely.
Because I've said this. I've grown up watching girls' high school basketball, girls' sports because of my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I find some girls' sports more entertaining because they care more. These guys are just going in here to play for the money. These girls aren't. You can't tell me Caitlin Clark's playing basketball for the money.
Oh, no.
She's not. Because in the WNBA, she doesn't really make that much money.
No. They're trying to get noticed.
Exactly.
And you see that. And you know what's great? How Ice Cube in the Big Three, they offered her like $5 million to go play in that league. That's great. Because now she could use that to her advantage and try and.
Exactly.
She can go to the WNBA, but like, give me 7.5 or something like that.
Exactly. You have to give the attention. Now, unfortunately, with the same with the weight room, they put the Final Four in Cleveland, so they're punishing the girls. But
okay, all right,
just kidding, Nico. I just wanted to say the
girl that exposed that whole weight room thing, Sedona Prince.
Yeah,
she plays at TCU now.
She does play at TCU. That is correct. Wait, really?
Yeah,
dude,
she
that's
played
so,
against the Mountaineers this year.
Yeah, I called that game. I sat in her post game interview.
She's good.
I thought I had recognized her. Oh my.
Yeah, I recognized this during like halftime. I was like, wait a minute.
Because I thought I had recognized her from somewhere, but I was like, I don't watch women's basketball like in the Big 12. This year was my first year that I had watched closely to the Big 12. I should change my wording there. I've watched closely, and I was like, I don't know where I recognize her from. That makes a lot of sense. But like when you look at it, South Carolina, they're undefeated yet again. They're making a run. NC State, they're making a run. Iowa has
UConn.
Caitlin Clark, who is the number one team who honestly arguably could be a number one team in the country.
Now, do we think that for the third time that both UConn men and women's win the national championship?
I don't think UConn gets past Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just not much of a counter to get past because You can defend her all you want, but she can shoot it in your face and still make it.
Yeah.
There's no guarding.
Those shots were so contested. Some of the shots that she made against LSU were so heavily contested against
even
her,
against
and she
West
still
Virginia.
Got them up.
Well, and even in like against West
What'd
Virginia.
She made 9 against LSU, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And but wild. Like even when she's not making buckets, she can pass the ball like crazy. You can't shut her down at all. I don't think UConn gets past Iowa. I think South Carolina gets the national championship. I think you're going to see 2-1 seeds, and I think you're going to see Caitlin Clark possibly get a national championship, and I think it's not far-fetched.
You know a male comparison I would give to Caitlin Clark? I would compare her to a prime James Harden.
She can shoot the ball lights out, but I think I agree with you. But I think that the attention on women's basketball now is bigger than it ever has been.
It's great.
And we could get Tanner Mounts on here, and he could tell you about his experience when he was in Iowa, because he said during in that first round game after Iowa already played, the line of people that just wanted a picture with her.
It's crazy.
So it's changing. Women's sports is changing.
She's a great role model,
and
too, obviously.
Even here, Nikki Izzo-Brown has changed the whole women's program. They've not had back-to-back losing seasons ever. I'm even surprised they went losing season this year. Next year, they'll probably bounce back. They might go win a national championship next year. The women's soccer coach.
Nikki Izzo-Brown. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they go, they just won the Big 12 a couple years ago. So it's like you have to, the sport, the women's sports is changing. And it's huge. It's massive. Caitlin Clark is the reason why. I know Andy's going to he wants to sit here and bash Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to allow it because she's doing the best thing imaginable for women's sports.
No, I agree. I just think that other players are better. However, I will say,
there's no argument. There just isn't an argument.
So who?
Paige.
No. Absolutely not.
She's great.
Does Paige have the NCAA scoring record on both men's and women's?
Okay.
No.
Okay, beyond that.
She passed Pete Maravich. Like, holy cow.
Do you even know who Pete Maravich is?
Pistol Pete?
I have heard of him, yes.
Okay, you've heard of him. No, Paige Beckers might be good. She is not better than Caitlin Clark. That's where I stop you.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
I mean,
all right.
Because Andy,
give me your counterpoint. But that's where I'm going to tell you that she's not.
I'm just saying the way that she moves the ball and the way that she actually goes through the defenses and just look at her in the paint.
But Caitlin Clark.
Have you seen Caitlin Clark?
Caitlin
in the paint?
Clark could do that too, but better.
Caitlin Clark does it. She does it better.
Caitlin Clark leads almost every statistic for Iowa. You watch that game against West Virginia. She hit a shot where Jayla Hemingway's arm was in her face, and she nailed it.
We got to move on. We've been giving her too much praise. She beat us.
You're 100% correct. Hang on. Okay, Caitlin Clark's stat line against LSU. 40 minutes.
Bink.
13 for 29.
Bink.
9 three-pointers made out of 20 shot attempts.
Bink.
6 for 7 field goal range.
Bink.
41 points against LSU.
41.
Andy, that's 4 and 1, Andy. That's a lot of points.
Joel Embiid only put up 26 yesterday.
Also, you said the passing the ball. She had 12 assists. Let's look at Paige Beckers.
How many boards did she get to?
I don't know. I didn't look.
I'm assuming it's a good amount. Probably.
Let's look at Paige Beckers here. Okay, 40 minutes. Nice. 11 for 23. Okay, nice.
Decent.
Okay. Guess how many assists she had, Andy?
5.
6.
Oh, I was close.
28 points. The stats don't lie, Andy. I, your counterpoint is, yes, Paige Beckers is great at women's basketball.
She's a great player.
She's a great player. Probably number 2 in the country, honestly.
3.
Okay, number 3. You're right. But she's not better than Caitlin Clark. Now, I know that you have this, because Caitlin beat West Virginia. But she beat West Virginia in a way that nobody else has done it this year, by doing what she did.
If Caitlin Clark's not on that Iowa team, we win that game by 10.
Exactly. 100%.
And everyone said it, what was it, around the horn they were saying that?
Yeah.
Stuff like that?
Anywhere. I think your point, yes, Paige Beckers, she's one of the top players in the country. Honestly, number 3. But she's not better than Caitlin Clark. No one's better than Caitlin Clark right now in the women's basketball world. And honestly, Caitlin Clark could probably go to the NBA and put up more numbers than some of the all-stars. If I'm going to be completely honest.
She shoots better than James Harden now.
She shoots the basketball, she could probably go out there and put up more points than some of the guards in the NBA. I 100% believe that.
The only reason that her in the NBA wouldn't work is strictly because of just size. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, but I...
she shoots better than, again, like you just said, her percentage is insane. You don't, there's no gender with percentage in terms of shooting.
Yeah. I didn't mean to get on you about that, but it's because what you were going at, the way that you were...
We're journalists. We got to call how it is.
Exactly.
I guess. I don't know.
Like, think about it is if you put that out there, like, say you're on ESPN and you said that. Do you know how your phone would be blowing up right now?
Bzz, 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 bzz.
So, Caitlin Clark having 41 points against an LSU team that just won the national championship. That's impressive, man.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you want to keep? Give me another point here. Paige Beckers.
What I was going to say is,
yeah, go ahead.
Caitlin Clark is doing a lot of things for the women's basketball side, and I absolutely love that. And you know, I don't think there's going to be another player like Caitlin Clark ever. You know, that just dead on like that. I just think that there are times where her human side comes out.
Now, like, that I will agree with you on.
There are times where when that comes out, there, you know, it might be easy, or it might be not easy, but easier to exploit that when her human side comes out.
Yeah, now,
but
she's very cocky, but like what I said, she backs it up. So
every male athlete on the planet has an ego. Yes, I don't want to hear it about she has an ego. She's allowed. Okay. She has earned the right to talk as much as she...
Whoa.
I didn't say it. I said
okay. Right.
I feel like this is going to round up my point and whatever. Caitlin Clark is no doubtably, that's a word. There's no question to say that she's not the greatest basketball player in college history, but she is human.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I just, the way that you started it was that she's not the best player in college basketball is an untrue statement because it's been proven.
It's insane.
I guess I started that a little weird.
Yeah, if you would have worded it different, 100%.
If I were to have worded it as I just did, you know, it might have been a bit different.
And
but
this is what podcasts are supposed to be. I mean, this is what, but like the way she is the best player. Yes, Paige Beckers has been, I think she averages 28 points in the tournament, but Caitlin Clark, I mean, she put up 41 against the reigning national champs. I mean, come on.
And Andrew Reese.
Exactly.
Love Andrew Reese.
Now, I totally agree. Her ego is an issue, but
I feel like she's the women's basketball version of like Patrick Mahomes.
But when you drop 41 points, you kind of
I mean the ego feud with like Andrew Reese pointing at the ring finger last year. You can't see
that
me. It's good for the game. It's like there was a good well established rivalry.
Honestly,
that people knew about.
I don't blame Andrew Reese for doing that.
I don't either.
Seriously.
Love injuries. I hope she dominates in the WNBA. I really do too.
Yeah, honestly.
I do too. All right. So, you know what?
South Carolina's winning.
Since we're talking about, you know, the number one.
They're in the Final Four, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They play NC State. So, okay. Since, you know.
NC State's in the Final Four in women's too?
Yeah.
Did you not hear me start the segment that way?
It's like the first time in history that two
teams.
There's
two teams in both men's and women's.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like
I didn't know that about NC State and women's.
That's the first time in history, right?
Might not be in history, but it's definitely a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're looking at it this way, you know, on the women's side, we just got done talking about Caitlin Clark, who's going to be the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. Well, West Virginia, we have the number one overall projected pick within the MLB draft, and that's J.J. Weatherholt making his season debut, to make his return to the baseball field against the Kansas Jayhawks in Lawrence, Kansas at 7 p.m. on Friday on ESPN+. So you get that back for you. That's huge for this team, considering they've been able to rack up a lot of, you know, wins without J.J., and he's been out since the first series of the year. Now, West Virginia lost or dropped two games against Oklahoma State this past weekend, but then were able to get a huge win earlier or on the last day. West Virginia currently sits at a 5-4 Big 12 record, just barely above 500. Oklahoma at 7-2, and one of those losses, actually two of those losses, coming to West Virginia, both of those losses, rather, coming to West Virginia. And BYU at the bottom of the rankings along with Houston. Kansas is currently fourth in the Big 12 standings, so it'll be a battle between those two teams this weekend. So Kansas, a three-game series of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then they head to Huntington, West Virginia to take on the Thundering Herd of Marshall, who they have just absolutely destroyed this year. And then they come back home to play at Wagner Field at Kendrick Family Ballpark on Friday to play UCF. I'll be on the call for that one, and then I'll be on color for that one. And then Saturday I'll be on play-by-play for that one at 4 p.m. at Wagner Field between the Knights of UCF and West Virginia. And then Sunday it's going to be Sylvie and AP on the call for that one.
Busy schedule for you, busy schedule Mr.
for
Roby.
Me. It's always a busy schedule for me, especially in this world.
Hey, at least your partner responded to you about your project.
So, West Virginia, currently sitting at 16-12. They're right there,
over 500.
They're right there, man. This team just needs their two hitters back. They need Save back, who is still not back. But J.J. Weatherholt comes back. I'm going to turn to Nico on this because Nico has called more games this year. Nico, what do you think this is going to do for this team? Is this going to get them, you know, over the hump? Is this going to get them on a little win streak here?
I think it's going to bring back a lot of the hitting that this team's missing. I mean, you look back at this Oklahoma State series that this team just played. The first two games, they scored maybe a combined three runs. Both of those games were big pitcher's duels. The second game until the 11th inning where the West Virginia pitching kind of just fell apart. But then the third game, it was different. West Virginia scored 15 runs in that game. I don't know how they did it, but they did it, and it was very, very fun to see. I was on the call with that, with Gabe. That was a fun one. I feel like if you bring a guy like J.J. Weatherholt, who last year won the Big 12 Player of the Year, one of the most impactful players in college baseball right now, you bring him back onto this team, it will improve their offense so much.
That J.J. Weatherholt bat is massive.
I mean, yeah, like, he bat almost 500 last season.
What did he end with? Like 426, something like that?
I think it was more like 440-ish.
Was it?
But you bring him back into this team, and then you get Logan Save back, and you have the bats of Chumley and Lumsden and all these other guys that are playing well. Sam White as well.
Yep.
You bring Weatherholt in with this group that's already performing decently well. I mean, the sky's really the limit.
No, 100%.
Andy isn't paying a lick of attention, so.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's what you said. So this team, Bree Chumley leading the way, batting at a 316 for this team. JJ still batting at a 308 and only playing four games.
Had a good start.
Had a pretty good start, I'd say. So, I mean, this team, they're going to get over a hump a little bit. I mean, they really are. They got a hump that they got to go over. Looking at the remaining schedule for this team, after they play UCF, they are going to take on, I do believe it is, let me see, I don't want to say it in case I'm wrong, and of course it's not loading. Yeah, Texas Tech, that's what I thought. Texas Tech in Lubbock, they'll play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then come back and they play Penn State at University Park. Then they play a three-game series against Baylor. Then they head to PNC Park and play Pitt, which that's a pretty big game in itself. I don't think I can say what I was going to say, so I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But Cincinnati will obviously, that will be a pretty big series in itself. We'll have some guys, I think, heading that way, maybe. And then Morgantown, they come back to Morgantown on May the 8th, and we'll play Penn State. I'll be on the call for that one. That's a nationally televised game. Heck yeah, check that one out. And then they close off with Kansas State, and then there's a to-be-determined game. I think they might pick up a team for that one. I cannot say that officially, though. Then they head, and they finish off their year with TCU, who that's a tough finish in the Big 12. And then they head for the Big 12 tournament May 21st through 25th. Hopefully they can get past the first couple days, though. They've struggled to do that as of recent. So this team, they got a lot of baseball to be left to play, but also at the same time, not a lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, and going back on some of the players that they have, I didn't even really mention the young guys that they have. Aaron Jameson has been playing very well this season. Peraza started a number of games. Armani Guzman's hit a good amount. Then you have, you know, Kyle West, Ellis Garcia, and then I didn't even get started on the pitching. I mean, obviously, Derek Clark and Major, two very good pitchers.
Those have been probably the only two pitchers that have really been The rest of this team.
You have Van Kempen, Hamilton Oliver, Carson Estridge, Max Yell.
Well, yes. But with those guys, it's like you don't know which side of them is going to show up.
Yeah, they could and be hit or miss.
That's the thing with this pitching staff. They've all been hit or miss. Even Aiden Major. Aiden Major sometimes has been hit or miss. Derek Clark has really been the only guy that has come out there and, I mean, he's pitched two full games. Well, I should reword that. Two full regular games. The last game he pitched nine innings, and then it went into extra innings. So, you know, the only thing, I mean, the thing that's pretty surprising, not surprising to me, but the big number here is Aiden Major has 53 strikeouts. That's huge.
Yeah, that first game against Oklahoma State, I believe he tallied 13 of those strikeouts.
How many batters has he faced? Where is that at? Oh, at-bats, right here. Okay, so out of 153 batters, he's struck 53 of them out.
That's
pretty impressive.
Very, very good.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, I know Andy doesn't really know baseball, but Griffin knows baseball. That's impressive. 153 batters, you struck out 53 of them.
Oh, yeah. That's really impressive.
And only 33 of those have been hits. So you have 100 at-bats left after their strikeouts, and only 33 of those have been hits.
Wow.
That's impressive in itself. So looking at Aiden Major, obviously he's been impressive. Derek Clark, yes, totally been impressive. But the rest of the pitching staff is just, you know, you don't know which one's going to show up.
I feel like Van Kempen's definitely been playing better.
Yes, because I have called, I think he's had, how many starts has he had? Three starts. I've called all three of his starts. Well, been there for all three of his starts. Yeah, he's pitched a lot better than recent. Yeah, and that's kind of how he was last year.
Yeah, and, you know, that last game against Oklahoma State, you know, you saw Hamilton Oliver pitch for a good amount. Carson Estridge came out there. Robbie Porco came out there.
Yeah, Porco, I think, is still nursing an injury. So you'll see him, you know, he'll be off and on. But
yeah, in that game, Tyler Switalski started it. I think he pitched very well in that game.
Yeah, Switalski, though, he's struggling right now. But he's going to slowly start to edge his way back, and I think that's going to be, you know, that's what's going to matter is he's young. A lot of these guys are young, and so they just got to get reps. That's essentially how you put it. Robbie Porco, he's got to get back and nurse. I think Hamilton Oliver, you just got to get him some more appearances. Joseph Fredericks has been a guy that's come out there and has pitched pretty well. But Carson Estridge has 24 strikeouts. Van Kempen has 22. Switalski does have 23. So, you know, I mean, you got guys that, you know, are pitching pretty well, but the rest of the pitching staff has just, you know, not been impressive.
Yeah, and it's back to, you know, them being a lot of hit or miss on the pitching, you know, and especially playing some tough opponents, the Ohio State series, Oklahoma State series, not a lot of runs to come by. And obviously the last game of the Ohio State series, they gave up, 20-plus runs? It was not good whatsoever.
Yeah. So we just wanted to touch a little bit of some base on, you know, WV baseball. Obviously, we can come back next week and talk about how good, hopefully, J.J. Weatherholt was in his appearance back. But we're kind of running out of time, so, you know, it's just, this baseball team has just got to get over the hump, and the fact that they've pulled out as many wins as they have without their two best hitters is impressive in itself. So hopefully you get Savé and Weatherholt back soon, and you get into a stretch of Big 12 play that's going to be really important. Any final thoughts?
WrestleMania next week.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania
I'll let
next
Griff
week.
Come on here a little bit. Actually, you know what? You should go on Nico's podcast and do that. Nico, you plug yourself.
Yeah, plug it.
Oh, yeah, listen to Beyond the Mat, Wrestle Talk with me, Nico Coretto. I do it mainly with John Dodaro and Lance Johnson.
What two fabulous guys.
That's a great line.
And we're always willing to have guests on. Love to
not
have
me, you don't want me.
Well, if you know wrestling. But we're always willing to have guests on to talk wrestling.
But maybe next week you can tune in and hear Griff, his experience about going to WrestleMania this
weekend. Oh, yeah, that'll be very important.
Yeah, going to night two on Sunday, going to see the main event. Hopefully Cody Rhodes finishes his story.
I agree.
But you've been listening to yet another episode of the PRT Boys Podcast right here on U92, The Moose.
Go Fools.